another edition of Registered Ear Offenders 3-8-2013 in conjunction with
Extreme Talk XM
165.
Chris, I think it was the monster truck announcer voice that threw you off.
Yeah, I know. I went into character and then I forgot. You know, that's what happens. Like, I fall so deeply into character, Sal, that I can't be held responsible for what I do after that.
Character? That's your character?
Well, I don't know if you know this, Sal, but I'm going to let a cat out of the bag. Many of the characters that you hear during our productions are played by me.
What?
That's right. I know. You wouldn't even know it.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't even know it.
In fact, we have an actor here in the studio, a professional actor, and I looked over, and at one point I could swear he was just kind of eyeballing me, going like, why can't I commit to that degree?
I understand.
I mean, where does he pull from that I can't seem to reach?
I know. A lot of actors look at you like in that light. I myself look at you and go, why can't I be as truthful with my emotion as you?
But I will tell you this, Sal, today's guest was brought by Sal. Sal and I kind of take turns, you know, procuring guests for the show. But this guy, he walked in, I knew he was an actor right away. His hair was just too goddamn good to be anything else.
Not to mention, I knew he was an actor because he's shorter in person.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. He's just right for the camera. That's funny. People always talk about how great it is to be tall. But I guess, you know, that you always hear about Vince Vaughn, for example.
Yes, he looks tall.
Yeah, but he's ridiculously tall. I think he's like 6'4",
okay,
maybe even a little bit more. And I know that it can be problematic sometimes. They have to, you know, put the actress on Apple boxes and stuff.
Aww,
like that.
But poor Vince.
But I noticed, Sal, that you and our guest are exactly the same height. And you're always making it sound like you've been shafted by life because of your height.
I have been shafted by life. But, you know, I like a woman has never said, you know what? He's just too tall to date. No woman has ever fucking said that.
Well, have you ever had to sleep on a wooden floor because your back was hurting you too much? So it's a trade-off.
No, I am not homeless.
Okay, well, I've had to do that in many cases when there was a perfectly good bed next to me because that's what being tall is all about.
Hey, why don't I remind everybody that our show is sponsored by Audible.com, where you can get a free audiobook download by going to audibletrial.com/Skid Row Studios and get yourself a free audiobook download, because let's face it, who the hell wants to read anymore?
The way you delivered that, it gives the impression that there's a guy from Audible who tapped on the glass. Hello, our promo, please.
He did. He's like, announce us, you asshole. We're sponsoring you for crying.
No, but we're very grateful. We're grateful anyone who wants to pitch in to Skid Row in its infancy. Because this, like anything else, like Jerry Seinfeld, you know, at one point was doing open mics. Everybody was somebody small. Everything was something small at one point. What's the tallest tree in the world?
Redwood?
Yeah, I think it has an S in it.
Sequoia?
Sequoia tree, yes. Correct. And, you know, it actually starts from a seed about the size of an apple seed, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, you know, let's be perfectly clear here, and this is perfectly honest. The first time I ever came to this studio, I was quite impressed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I definitely was, because, you know, you hear about podcasts, and we both have done podcasts, and you walk into some of these places, and you go, come on, this is a fucking joke. I might as well be sitting in my living room, for crying out loud.
Yeah, exactly. It's like there's no equipment whatsoever. You know, it's like you're basically sharing a mic with a guy's PC. No, that's not the case here at Skid Row Studios. We actually have a dedicated sound studio.
Yes, so we have to thank for that. But Mr. Jeremy Hansen, who's right here with us today, where is Nick? Jeremy, where is Nick?
Where is Nick?
Yeah, where is he? He comes, he goes.
Nick steps in when I can't do it. I'd like to be here on a regular basis for your show, but sometimes I just can't be here, so I ask Nick to come in.
Well, that's sometimes because Jeremy is partying in San Francisco, leading the life of a station manager.
I was supposed to go to San Francisco last week and then ended up not going last minute, but yeah, occasionally I like to get away, and then Nick steps in.
But I do like keeping up with Nick's Facebook posts. They're trying to make sense of them.
You know what? He comes from the heart in his Facebook posts. He really is genuine. Like, he asks for help. I've never once asked for help on Facebook. He asked people for help.
Whereas most people, they go to Facebook and they're like, oh man, this is the cleverest shit I've thought of all day. Like, he's actually going there and he's thinking out loud on Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I wonder if he doesn't realize that this goes public. He thinks it's a journal or something, you know.
Mr. Nicholas Cohn, thank you wherever you are. So what's going on our show today, Chris? Who do we got and what do we got?
Big show, Sal. Big show. We got Why Not a very special movie edition. We've done YNAP before, but this is the first time we've kind of had a topic or a subject matter that we're going to stay focused on.
In fact, you may say that this is almost a movie episode because our very special guest is a actor-director.
Yeah, and I even watched some of his clips, and I saw a woman who I'm hoping will be my bride one day.
Well, a little late, man, because that woman who was in those scenes with
him. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes. Oh, exactly. Yeah. She's a, you know, Rosario Dawson-esque.
Exactly.
She is now engaged, so sorry to break the news to you.
So why is she playing hard to get? Like, why is she going to such great lengths to play hard to get?
Well, you know, I think she's a Latin woman.
I mean that's an engagement, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I know.
You know, knock off the nonsense. We are grow up. If you like me, just say so. after that, we've got sketchy characters. Sal and I are going to be premiering playing an oldie but a goodie.
It's an oldie but a goodie. We're going to be playing our first ever sketchy characters. For those of you who are new to our program, we played this back in August of 2012, way back then. You know, in internet years, that's like 6 years. So way back in August of 2012, we played our first premiere sketchy characters, and we're going to play that for you today.
And then we're going to follow that with Chris's Corner. Station identification.
Don't read station identification. I'm going to start putting that in parentheses. That's what I'm going to start doing.
Sal's weekly rant. Our very special guest, Blaine Weaver. And if we have time, which I hope we will, we're going to do our second ever edition of Inhuman Resources.
That's right. And today's special edition of Inhuman Resources not only will involve our special guest, Blaine Weaver, but we'll have a special new intro song, which you will love.
Oh, wow. Even I haven't heard this. I think, we always like to make clear sometimes to the guests that Sal and I don't spend every waking minute together. So sometimes we genuinely, it's as big a treat for me, as big a surprise for me as it is for the listener.
Unfortunately, you know what I've realized is since we've been doing this show, we actually spend less time together, which actually, you know what, I miss. You know, Chris and I used to go out and play pool together. We would hang out. We'd maybe catch a UFC. We only get together to talk about the show and then do the show, and then that's it.
Our relationship has owing primarily to lack of time has gone from recreational, if you will, platonic,
it is still platonic. Let's be certain there.
It wasn't before. Yeah, I made it sound like it wasn't before. We broke up, but we're still business partners. No, that's what we do. We get together, and when we can get together, we work on the show. And it's a shame because, obviously we have outside interests. In fact, Sal and I have been talking about writing a screenplay, and I'm pretty big on the idea, and I'm not about to let it get backburnered. Sal and I have been talking about writing a movie, a kind of a Hallmark Channel movie, a kind of Lifetime Channel movie.
Very formulaic.
Exactly.
Yes.
Maybe Meredith Baxter Burney, maybe Tony Danza.
Actually, I heard Tina Yothers is making a comeback.
Oh, yeah, perfect. And, yeah, anyone who... You go, hey, I remember her.
That's right.
When you see them, that's who we want for our film.
Well, you know, because Chris and I are big movie fans. I also do on the side. I proofread scripts. I do some creative punch-ups on scripts. And one thing I've realized in the process of doing this is like, I can do that.
Absolutely,
I can write better than these people that I'm proofing.
Well, when you look at horror movies, when you look at... sometimes I've actually seen a couple movies in my time that I've seriously wondered if it wasn't meant as a practical joke, like some kind of Borat practical joke, like Exit Wounds with DMX. Like, it was just so outlandish and so absurd. I can't believe that they were watching the dailies going, yeah, it's working. No, we don't need to explain that. I remember thinking at one point when he tied his belt to a shotgun, threw it in the air, and then used the belt to shoot the gun. Without looking at his target, successfully, no less. I said, they've got to stop this movie, and they should have DMX come out like a host and go like, guys, we were just fucking with you. We didn't expect you to buy that. We just thought it'd be funny if we threw it in the film. Let's get back to the actual film.
Well, exactly. I was watching, I remembered, I saw a clip recently of Quentin Tarantino's Grindhouse. Planet Terror is what it was. Planet Terror with the zombie. I guess they're not zombies. We're in the era where it's not really about zombies popping out of the grave like Michael Jackson's Thriller, but rather a virus, and then people kind of become zombie-like. So in the movie, there's zombies, and Freddie Rodriguez is in there, and I liked him from 6 Feet Under. So, but in the movie, what's her name? The beautiful brunette loses her leg and then attaches a machine gun to it, and then she's shooting with this thing. How the fuck do you pull a trigger when the gun is attached to your leg and you're not touching it and yet it's firing?
Who has the strength in their hip flexors to elevate a machine gun with their, I imagine, is it a fresh wound? So it's not even healed? And that's not an impediment to her, the fact that her wound is getting infected?
Well, in the scene, she's in the hospital and Freddie Rodriguez runs in and says, we got to get out. Oh, Rose McGowan, that's the actress. Freddie Rodriguez comes in and says, we got to get out of here. She goes, but I'm missing a leg. And he gets the machine gun. He attaches it onto her leg as a prosthetic. And she gets up, they hop on his motorcycle. She's fucking firing this thing again without fucking touching it.
Well, that's what you want to do with a delicate work of art like a weapon. You want to put the muzzle directly into the ground and put your full weight on the back of it. That's how you want to treat. You don't want to polish it and take good care of it. You want to use it as a peg leg.
Yeah.
For Christ's sake.
But how about movie endings? Because you were talking about Man on Fire with Denzel Washington about the ending of that.
That's funny. I love the movie. And in fact, by some wacky coincidence, did you remember that you had discussed the movie briefly with Jeanette Risley when she was guest hosting?
Yes, because I think we were talking about Bodyguards.
Okay.
Yeah, Michael, our guest that day, Michael Guy Allen, is a combat veteran, and he works in childcare. So I was thinking, oh, I would like you to protect my child, like Denzel Washington in Man on Fire.
Whereas if I had a child, I would want someone to kidnap it rather than protect it. Yeah, so in that movie, I loved the movie, man. I thought it was a complex character, the kind Denzel excels at playing, like he did in Flight. But he protects this young girl, Dakota Fanning, and at one point when they kidnap her, he tells her mother, I'm going to kill everyone involved in her disappearance. And you believe that he's genuinely going to. And everything he does from that point on makes you believe that his life means nothing to him. They tell you that. He's an alcoholic. He's got like so many issues that it seems well worth losing his life to save that of this little girl. And so what happens during the movie, he puts a bomb in a guy's butt, a guy who's being uncooperative and not giving him the information he needs. So he tells him, you can either play along or I'm going to blow you to pieces. So in the end, he ends up, I figure it's been, 8 years now, I can spoil the ending.
yeah.
He gets in the car. He basically trades himself for the little girl because he's killed so many of these bad guys' men that he becomes kind of an asset himself, valuable. So they accept him as a trade. They give the little girl back to her mother. He gets in the car. The car starts driving away. He dies. He's been wounded a couple times. He's exhausted. He just literally kind of hunches over. He's carrying a religious medallion in his hand. It slips out of his grasp, and you know it's over.
So he dies in the car while it's rolling away. Talk about anticlimactic.
Exactly. It was the mother of anticlimactic endings, and that's not what he said. He said he was going to kill them all. He was clearly an expert with explosives, so my question is, why didn't they have the car blow up as it was going off into the sun?
Sure, he could have stuck a bomb in his own ass.
Yeah, exactly. Or just swallowed it.
Yeah.
If he's adverse to, an anal, as I would be. I'd be like, it's gay. I don't want to die gay.
Sticking a bomb in your ass is gay. Deep throating a bomb, not gay.
But if I could go back, I would love to see that just that one scene changed, and it would be one of my top 10 favorite action movies.
You know what, man? I'd love to go on talking about movies, but you see how time flies so much. We're going to move on to our oldie but a goodie, sketchy characters. Hit it, Jeremy, please.
And now, Sketchy Characters presents The Outdoorsman.
Are you Garrett?
Yep. You Teddy?
Yeah.
Where's your Rob?
In my pants.
He got one of the new fold-em-up pocket-size models.
I guess you could say that.
Oh, Nelly! You got me a big one. Who's your daddy? Come on, boy, don't fight it. Just relax and let it happen. Yeehaw! Ain't he a beauty?
Yeah, he sure is. Catch and release. I took you for the hit-it-and-quit-it type.
Yeah, you got me pegged, right? I've never been much of a catcher.
Right. You said so in your profile. So, are we alone out here?
Pretty much. Fish and game warden come around from time to time.
Is he a friend of ours?
Friend? Hell, he's a fan. Brings his own chair, but he don't get his hands dirty. He just like to watch.
I know a senator like that.
Yeah, them do-nothing politicians is all cut from the same cloth. Kissing babies, swearing on the Bible, but you catch them after a few drinks. They're the first ones to bend over backwards for the first teabagger to tell them what to do. Well, this here park closes at sunset, so if you're going to pull your rod out, now be the time.
Right. Well, no time like the present.
Getting your hip waders on?
No, I'm taking my pants off.
Well, I reckon no trousers is better than walking around in wet trousers because you forgot your hip waders.
Wait a second. I'm starting to think that...
Y'all digging it down! Feels like I got me a bear on the end of my pole. He sure puts up a fight. Give me a hand here for my lime snacks.
Okay, well, what am I supposed to do?
Grab the tip of my rod.
Right here?
Use both hands, boy. Now pull it towards your face. Now slowly work your way from the shaft to the base.
But it's too big. It's too big. It's pulling me in.
God damn it, boy. You let that beauty get away.
I don't care about that stupid fish, or the stupid stream, or those stupid hip waders. I didn't come here to goddamn fish.
And what in Rusted Spike did you come here for?
I came for gay sex.
Gay sex? Well, why didn't you just say so? In that case, grab the tip of my rod. Now use both hands, boy, come on. Now pull it towards your face.
Okay.
Now slowly work your way from the shaft to the base.
Uh-huh.
That was our first Sketchy Characters, and to this day, my personal favorite.
Yeah, you know, I like some of the sound effects were very believable. You know, the crunching in the sand and whatnot, you know, when he walks in the sand.
You know, you said earlier that you've been known to do some characters. Were you in that edition of Sketchy Characters?
If you had to take a guess, which character would you think I played?
Well, you know what's funny? The guy who said Rusted Spock, I remember when we first premiered that, Jeremy said he liked that. Rusted Spock. Well, what in Rusted Spock? What the hell is that?
If I remember it, it actually means nothing.
It means nothing.
It's never been an expression. It's still not an expression. It's just something we came up in.
Maybe we can start a meme.
Yeah, exactly. We should just keep saying it and then look at people weird when they ask what it means. You know, like boy, you're out of the loop.
You
know?
What, you never heard of Rusted Spock?
Oh, you must be a northerner. No, good stuff, man. Funny stuff. Yeah, I do. I can scarcely believe it's been, what, 5 months, 4 months since that?
Yes, and maybe we'll replay on an upcoming show your personal favorite, which was Mantervention.
Yeah. It was definitely something that kind of came from the heart, you know, something that was based on things that a lot of husbands have told me in confidence and asked me never to repeat.
Nice, man. We want to remind everybody, you're listening to Registered Ear Offenders, hosted by Sal Rodriguez and Chris Z on SkidRowStudios.com, live Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. every Friday right here at SkidRowStudios.com, and also broadcast on Extreme Talk XM 165, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern every Saturday.
Well, with that said, so let's jump into Chris's Corner. I've got a very special edition here.
If you're going to bash religion, I don't want to hear it.
No. I'm taking a break. I'm going back about 10 years, and I'm going to recite. It's fiction, but it's semi-autobiographical fiction that I wrote, and I'd like to read it. It's a little story I wrote several years ago. But,
well, great. Let's hit it then. Jeremy, please. Chris's Corner.
Tonight is a big night. Joe Felly, who books stand-up comics throughout the Southeast, will be watching me perform. Earlier today, he called to say, I've heard good things about you. I'd like to check out your act and see if we can book you for some feature spots. Translation, if Joe likes what he sees, I will finally begin performing in front of audiences not comprised solely of drunken lowlifes. I will also finally start getting paid to perform. Not much, but enough to cover the bare essentials. Gas, food, lodging. The story. I've spent every Tuesday night for the last 9 months at the Why Not Lounge. I showed up at 9 o'clock sharp, waited patiently for my spot, never once left early. The open mic comedy showcase is a chance for aspiring stand-ups to culture their talent or realize their lack of it. I watch a lot of TV. I do not date because every girl I meet arrives with too much baggage and won't leave until she's dragged out by the cops. I keep abreast of news and current events, but I do so from the comfort and safety of my abode. I want to read the statistics, not become one. So what is it about the club that makes me leave the solace of my room? Because it's the only place where I feel I belong, besides inside my own head. The club is a place where I don't have to worry about being sued for sexual harassment for verbalizing what's on every man's mind. In the club, I'm someone. I am one of a handful of regular performers who sit sequestered from the crowd, and in our esteem, fame and fortune are at most only months away. Comedy is to me what narcotics and video games are to others. Escape from the hanging on in quiet desperation that is everyday life. If it can't be made sense of, then it will be made fun of. Landmark historical events amount to little more than a month's worth of comic fodder. Issues like racism, sexism, and homophobia make people laugh because really, what else can they do about it? My dream is to one day be renowned for my nihilistic, scathing indictments on marriage, capitalism, organized religion, and any other institution society holds dear. Why? Because the person I am today is what remains of a hopelessly idealistic youth who woke one day to find himself in the real world with no degree from the School of Hard Knocks. The show. I drop my opener. The audience responds with a hostile chorus of, "The microphone is not on!" The tiny on-off lever feels like a mammoth circuit breaker. I tell jokes like I'm dealing cards, but the audience responds like I'm eulogizing a beloved decedent. My A material gets a C response. My B material gets nothing. Halfway through my set, the mic cuts out. 1 minute later, it regains consciousness again, mid-punchline. I trudge back to my seat like I'm walking the Green Mile. The two comics sharing my table whisper obligatory consolations. I want to approach Joe and explain how the room was dead, how the same bit killed last week, and how I have so much more dynamite material he just has to hear, but I do nothing. I remember my father making it clear to me from early on that as long as the decisions I made coincided with the decisions he felt were best, I could keep my pampered son status. I remembered my mother's assurances that I was destined for middle-class mediocrity, so it was imperative that I fulfill that prophecy. And for the first 24 years of my life, that's exactly what I did. For the first time in my life, I'm making decisions based on what I want, not what others want for me. They may prove to be poor decisions, but they will be my poor decisions. I pop out of my seat like a champagne cork. I find Joe's chair empty. I look towards the doors just in time to see him leave. Joe Felly, who shook my hand not 1 hour earlier, didn't bother to say goodbye. They say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I buy that. There have been scores of times after dying in the spotlight that I wanted to run off stage and back into oblivion, but I didn't. Because I didn't start doing this for Joe, my folks, or anybody else. I did it for myself and will continue doing it for myself. One day I'm going to be a great comic. Till then, you know where to find me. That's Chris's Corner. Thanks for stopping by.
Chris's Corner, ladies and gentlemen. You know, having a bad set and then telling whoever the powers that be, hey, last week this joke killed. That's like having sex with a woman, not giving her an orgasm, and then saying, I swear to God, last week she had an orgasm.
Yeah, absolutely. It is the hallmark of an amateur. And I just saw it happen last night. And it turns out that the guy who books the room, I was at the Ice House, Comedy Juice late night show, and this dude just bombed. And it wasn't even really his fault. I mean, he always does well. He's a wacky looking dude. But Donnell Rawlings,
yeah.
You know this bit player from the Chappelle Show?
Yes,
well, he's parlayed that credit into a career in stand-up, and it's just filthy. I call him Black Hacks. Just the same shit, just loud, just vulgar, and dropped in to do a quote-unquote guest set, which was supposed to be about 20 minutes, and of course he went like 40.
Yeah.
So he just ruined the room for everybody, especially anyone who has any kind of anything intelligent or clean to say. So anyway, this guy came in, he did his set, he bombed. The booker wasn't even in the room, but he fucking spilled the beans because he came in and he kept apologizing to the booker, and the booker's like, oh, I wasn't even there. And he kept going, and I just wanted to stand up and go, dude, shut up.
Yeah.
You're making yourself look like an amateur by continuously apologizing. And that's not the first time I've seen it happen. I've seen comics basically psychologically tell the booker that they're terrible.
Sure.
You know, the booker said, no, I saw you, it wasn't the greatest set, but it was okay. No, it was terrible, man. Okay, well, fuck. If you're telling me you suck, what choice do I have but to believe you?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, man, as someone who's been friends with you for years, I've seen you perform, I've been on tour with you, any breaks you get in stand-up comedy, you definitely deserve for sure.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
All right, we're going to get into our next segment, which is Sal's Weekly Rant. People still fall for fitness fads. Whether P90X, the shake weight, or the decades-old ab roller, everyone wants a quick fix. Yes, I called P90X a fad. Anyone out there still doing Tybo? My point exactly. We want the most for the least, the most results with the least work. People sit in front of their television at 2 a.m. and marvel at the physiques of the infomercial bodies using the latest device. I've worked on a few infomercials, my friends. They're full of shit. While working at several gyms over the years, I've met many fitness models. None of them use the devices they advertise. They go to the gym and bust their ass like everyone else. Add to that a clean diet and great genetics, and they've got it covered. Yes, genetics. Look at the animal kingdom. A given species will have all sorts of body types. Shorter, taller, fatter, leaner. Humans are no different. Don't misunderstand me. By being consistent with any diet and exercise, you will be surprised at what you can accomplish. But to watch athletes and celebrities and models and then develop a body image complex because they look the way they do is a shame. Their lives, their schedules, and their genes are different, arguably better than the average person. My two brothers are naturally lean. If they never stepped foot in the gym or did any exercise, they would still be lean. If I never stepped foot in the gym, I would be the right side of average in body weight, the right of average being plump. I now exercise to not look obese. In my mid-20s, at my fittest, while running marathons and bench pressing 250 pounds, I still could not get below 180 pounds, and I'm 5'7". Besides, if you're a man, your body really doesn't matter as far as attracting a mate. Let's face it, hot women aren't attracted to hot men. They're attracted to rich men. So enjoy your life, eat, have fun, and I do strongly promote exercise, but don't let it consume you, and don't hate your bodies. Love your body and appreciate it. And to you young men out there bench pressing 250 pounds, you might want to spend a few less hours in the gym. After all, when you're sitting across from your dinner date at 40 years old, you will definitely not be asked how much you bench, but you might be asked how much you're worth. Sal's Weekly Rant, thank you.
Amen to that, Sal. I think that's probably the single greatest thing that ever happened to people who bilk fat people out of their money, and that they've led society to believe that everybody can attain a certain body if they work hard enough to it. In the same way that you'll never be a midget will never become an NBA player. Your body is not the same as that guy's body. It's not, I just need to diet more. I just need to lose more weight. I just need to gain more muscle. No, your body is not that guy's body.
Exactly. Everybody can have a better body, but not everybody is going to have that long, lean V-shaped body that our society so adores. And not every woman is going to have that, you know, whatever the hell, hourglass or Kim Kardashian ass, it's just not going to happen for most people. And so people lament, and people and these infomercial fuckers make millions and millions of dollars off the insecurities of people and the false delusions of how their bodies are supposed to be.
Right. And of course, they picked the most, you know, they picked an example that is so unattainable. They pick a guy who probably works as a professional model. I mean, my buddy actually knew a model, a guy who literally all day long ate tuna fish.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, the guy's probably, he's probably dead now. His kidneys are probably shut down, but that's how he maintained his physique. But they give you this image and they make you believe that, you know, using this product 5 minutes a day, 3 days a week. That's who can be that stupid, man?
There's only one thing I do 5 minutes per day that gives anything to me, and it just gives me a sore shoulder. That's all that it does. 5 minutes per day. That's all you need to do. Did anybody else get that? I don't think so.
Wow. You know,
and with that, we're going to bring in our guest. Chris, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest today?
Cool. Our guest for today is, my God, what hasn't this guy done? He's a successful actor. He's a writer, director. Blaine Weaver. Blaine most recently starred in the acclaimed romantic comedy, 6 Month Rule. He also co-wrote Manic, which ended up starring Don Cheadle, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Zooey Deschanel, my bride-to-be. Apparently now that my other one has rebuffed my advances.
That's right.
So that's him. He's here in the thing. He's appeared on such films as Austin Film Festival Audience Award winner Junk, Deep Dark Canyon, Official Rejection, and The Good Old Boys opposite Tommy Lee Jones. His numerous episodic television credits include ER, NCIS, and The Middleman. Please welcome to the show, Blaine Weaver.
Thank you. That was a beautiful read of my bio.
There we go. There we are. Hang on, Blaine. We got to let the music play for 5 minutes, and then you can speak.
Would you care for an old-fashioned?
If you're offering them, I will take one, yes.
Blaine Weaver, welcome to the show, man.
So you're saying the ab roller doesn't work?
No.
That's what I'm getting from this.
But I'm going to tell you this, and I mean this in all sincerity. Yes, you were shorter in person, but you're actually better looking in person.
Oh, that makes me feel so good, except for the fact that my movie stars me, and I'm the whole time.
Okay. Anybody out there who's seen Blaine Weaver's work, he's actually better looking in person.
Yeah, shocking as that may be.
Well, welcome to the show, man. So what have you been up to lately? You have, I mean, we're going to talk about 6 Month Rule, mm-hmm. but we're also going to talk about your latest film directed by Paul Osborne, right? Who we've had on the show before, who directed Official Rejection.
Exactly, exactly. I actually met Paul Osborne through Official Rejection. Official Rejection is a documentary about film festivals. And so my first film that I directed went to film festivals along with Paul's first film that he wrote. And Basically, I had a freak out at a film festival and he filmed it. And then my scene ended up making it into Official Rejection. So that's how we became friends. And
Was it brown M&Ms or something to do with your trailer?
Yeah, it was that the champagne was not actually champagne. It was sparkling white, which I'm kind of above. No, it was literally.
I hope you got somebody fired for that.
The movie was 3 hours late playing. It was much less me being a diva and much more them just being idiots.
So what was the reason?
They had no reason. They didn't have the right cords. The freaking guy had to go to Radio Shack, like, when my film was filled with human beings. It was very frustrating.
I don't know what's more disconcerting, the fact that the movie was 3 hours late, that he didn't have the cord, or that he went to Radio Shack.
I do not understand to this day how Circuit City goes out of business. I heard Best Buy is in trouble. Yet fucking Radio Shack, which has the most ridiculous prices and still sells fucking CB radios.
And a smaller selection, no less.
I think we found a topic for next week's rant.
That's right.
What I think.
Hey, listen, we're going to talk about 6 month rule, and let's have a trailer here.
Look, girls come and go. That's just how it works. Friendship, that's the only lasting thing. It's a rule.
For a guy whose longest relationship was less than a year, you really seem to think you have it figured out.
I do have it figured out, and that's exactly why my longest relationship was less than a year.
You leaving?
You know the rules. Why do you think I have this string of short-term flings? Why would I sign up for a relationship and all the sacrifices that come with it?
Why are you here?
Wow, you're really horrible. If I know that in 6 months I could be completely over the whole thing.
Hey, bang that blonde once for me.
There is no woman in the world so perfect that you cannot get over her in 6 months. That's my book, and you're looking at my book, and I thought that was cool.
Are you drunk?
No. Yes. Slightly. I met this girl today who was amazing. She's smart, like savvy.
You and me, we got like a spooky synchronicity going on.
I don't know what that means. There's the girl that you date, and then there's the perfect girl. The perfect girl, she makes you nervous, unsure of yourself. Who wants that kind of hassle, right? Hi.
Hi.
Well, I seem to be in the way.
Is that Tyler Watts? World famous photographer at my party?
You and him.
Yeah.
Look at this guy. I hate this guy.
You don't know me, Tyler.
I think we know each other pretty well. I think I'm in love.
Stop it. No.
Hi. I can trust you.
You are so totally wrong for me.
You are perfect for me. Tell me that you love him. Tell me you love him and I'll walk away right now.
You have all these rules and theories about life. You want to hear one of my rules?
Probably not.
Don't date guys like you.
That's a dumb rule.
Blaine, if we've learned one thing here today is that Chris and I both want to sleep with Natalie Morales.
She's a lovely and talented young lady. And just for the record, the one thing you don't get from hearing the trailer is how good looking I am in it.
That's right. Better looking.
Will this film be airing on Lifetime or on Oxygen?
That's awesome. No, it'll be on a cable movie channel. Which I can't say yet.
You've got a host of beautiful women in there that you're sleeping with. Do you date beautiful women like this in real life?
Well, you know, I don't want to ruin the mystery about it, but absolutely. Yes.
Now, you have a lot of people. Now, you didn't mention this in your bio, but I noticed, was that Jamie Lee Presley in there?
Yeah, Jamie Presley, yes.
Did you sleep with her?
No, I did not.
You also had the guy from Kid.
But I would open with that if I had.
You also had the guy from. Yeah, David Foley. You have David Foley
not
in there?
David Foley. No. I did sleep with him.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
How come you don't mention these people on your on the bio here? You mentioned Martin Starr and John Michael Higgins. No offense, but I don't know who those people are.
Wow, you're blowing it, man. Martin Starr's amazing.
Tell us who Martin Starr is and tell us who John Michael Higgins is.
Martin Starr is one of the Judd Apatow like crew of young, awesome actors. And John Michael Higgins is in every movie ever made.
Do you know these people, Chris?
No, I'm looking them up right now. Star with two R's.
Chris is running IMDb as we speak.
I did want to ask you, if I had your credits,
yeah.
Sal did mention you have some pretty heavy hitters here, some big names, and you're not listening to
your bio. Super important.
I would delete my own name, and I would just put there. But Martin Starr, he's... Caucasian male?
You have no frame of reference for that guy. Then clearly you've never watched Freaks and Geeks, which you're missing out half your life.
Well, Freaks and Geeks was with also, who was the schlubby guy, right? Big star now?
Seth Rogen.
There we go.
You know, all of them. I didn't learn their names for this.
I've seen the Apatow films, yet I don't recognize him from any of these.
You've never seen Party Down? Should check out Party Down. I think you'd like it.
Yeah, it's funny. I did a lot of work in catering, and people must have told me that 1,000 times.
Great.
Dude, you got to watch Party Down.
Yeah, and Martin Starr's a terribly talented young man.
As you can tell, if you were listening to the show earlier on in today's episode, Chris spends a lot of his time watching, Man on Fire?
Well, which one?
A lot of things that provoke my repressed rage. You know, a lot of animals fighting video. You know that's my.
You should see Manic then. That'll fall right into your wheelhouse.
Blaine, let's go back in time a little bit. You're originally from Louisiana.
I am.
And then you went to New York. Talk to us about that trail.
Okay, well, I did some acting when I was a teenager in out of Louisiana. I booked some jobs out of Dallas that were fairly big deals, like that Tommy Lee Jones thing. What's funny about that is, that was so long ago.
Wait, Tommy Lee Jones, who's that?
See? All right, look. You guys need to do your research before I show up here, man.
I want every head, house, shit, house, dog, house.
That's... Very similar in real life, actually. But yeah, so I did that movie like right out of high school, and then I moved to New York, and I lived there for 6 months, and then I moved here, and I've been here ever since. Went to UCLA, wrote a bunch of movies.
Who's your favorite actor?
My favorite actor, like working?
Yeah.
Chris has never asked such a hokey question ever on this show.
Yeah, it is almost like a formulaic, this is my first interview ever.
And it really is cheating because literally the Iron Man 3 trailer just dropped yesterday, which I think looks freaking awesome. I love Robert Downey Jr., anything he does.
Really? Have you ever used heroin yourself?
I'm not going to talk about that, but Chasing the Dragon is what I spend most of my time doing. So you're lucky I fit in. This in my skin.
Well, I asked because I have, you know, a few favorite actors, and some of them are pretty, you know, kind of go-to actors like Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
I love Daniel Day-Lewis a lot. I'm a huge Chris Cooper fan.
Yeah, Chris Cooper's...
So let's say...
As rated as he is, he's still incredibly underrated, I believe.
But probably my single favorite actor is Jeff Bridges, who I believe is the most underrated actor in Hollywood.
Even after his Oscar? What was that great speech he made? He's like, it's going to be really tough for me to pull off the underrated actor.
Can I tell you this?
That's funny.
Chris
talked about that before the Oscars.
This right? is honest to God, the truth. I met him a couple years ago. He made a small film called The Door in the Floor, and they premiered they ran it for free in Hollywood. I went to see it. I went up, shook his hand, and I said to him, I said, you, sir, are the most underrated actor in Hollywood. And when he gave that speech, I'm not saying that he drew it from my but I planted the seed, possibly. That's all I'm saying. So the whole point of this is, you know, you have your favorite actor. You probably have about 3 favorite actors.
Right.
Think of them, and then you just heard me in sketchy characters. Where would I fall in, let's say, the top 5?
What?
What is your rating amongst my 5
Take
favorite
your 3 or 4 favorite actors, and then me after listening to me in sketchy characters.
Right, that's true.
Did you even recognize me? I mean, I was so in deep in character.
You know, you're a chameleon, and I respect that immensely. But, you know, I'd put you, I guess, between Humphrey Bogart and Anthony Hopkins, somewhere in there.
Okay,
but,
I can live with that.
Well, you guys know who my favorite actor is, Martin Starr.
Yeah, there you go.
I just remembered.
That's right. So talk to us, you were an Austin Film Festival Audience Award winner.
Yes, that's just a movie that I was in, a movie called Junk, directed by Kevin Hamadani, which is a really funny movie. These are the recent films.
Wait,
know?
Hamadani, is he Persian?
I believe he is, yes.
All right. Yeah. I enjoy challenging myself on guessing people's ethnicity.
I don't memorize them before I come on, so I hope I got it right. I think he's Persian.
Yeah, I always get a giggle when I hear the commercials for Dr. Musa, because he's the guy who did my LASIK. He's done like 65,000 LASIK surgeries.
Yes.
And he is the classic Persian. I went in on a Sunday morning. This guy shows up. I think he came straight from a nightclub. Like he's like an Ed Hardy in tight jeans and pointy leather shoes, you know, still like dancing a little bit, you know. Check it out. You good, my friend. You good, my friend, you know.
My goal fashion-wise is to dress like a Persian man. That is my goal. Hey, we're going to get into our next trailer from your other movie called that you acted in. Now, you didn't direct this one. You acted in. This is Favor.
Favor, yeah. You know, the thing about you and me, Marv, we've got a lot of history. We go back a long time, and that means something. You were the guy that I could always count on to be down for anything. You used to say you could tell how good a friend is by whether or not they'd help you move a dead body.
Guilty.
I need your help. I need your help moving a dead body.
Be a song of redemption. Sing a little prayer for me. I lived a life full of misgivings. Somebody come and rescue me.
What are you doing here?
I want what you owe me. After what I did for you,
I don't owe you anything.
Baby, midnight's coming.
I don't do everything that you want, then you're gonna run off to the cops.
Just me and the mean old moon's gonna
I managed to keep my mouth shut because I think that you're my friend. Now, you are my friend, right?
Yeah.
Then you best keep me believing it.
And that was Favor. We want to remind everybody, you're listening to Registered Air Offenders, hosted by Sarah Rodriguez and Chris Z on SkidRowStudios.com and Extreme Talk XM 165. And now, you did not have the benefit, if you were only listening to that, of course, but you got to see real tears coming out of Blaine's eyes. Now, did you pull on your reservoir of acting skills, or did you poke yourself with a needle?
You know, I don't want to tell my acting secrets because then, you know, you guys will be able to do it, and, you know, I'll be out of business. So, no, but you did notice how good-looking I was in those clips.
I did. You know what I really like about this is that it does think of... one thing I think about when it comes to a friend, all I ask from a friend, really, is that if I'm in jail, you come visit me. Mm-hmm. If I'm in the hospital, you come visit me, and if I need some cash, you let me borrow some cash. I really don't have high expectations for friends, but this movie, you have high expectations of what you would require in a friendship.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's really it's really dark. It's really psychological thriller-y, you know, but it's really cool. You know, I asked this guy to help me get rid of a dead body, and it basically destroys our friendship, and everything keeps escalating, and it's really great. And it's that guy, Paul Osborne.
Well, what's it like working for Paul Osborne as a director? Because I heard that he's an asshole.
Well, you guys have met him, so you know.
Paul.
You know he's an asshole.
That's right.
I only person I can guarantee is listening to this right now is Paul Osborne.
I would say the same thing.
I actually lived through an experience that very similar. It sounds like I haven't seen the film that we just aired the trailer for, but Sal had me cat sit for him, and it was the closest I ever came to just ending our friendship.
That's terrible.
Oh, by the way, I have an acting tip for you, and you're welcome to use it. This helps me whenever I need to cry for a scene.
Right.
I have my W-2s held out in front of me, my earnings statement.
So where can we see Favor, and where is it going to make the independent film festival circuit? Are we going to see it on Netflix?
Well, I certainly hope so. That's the big plan. We're actually just having our premiere at the Phoenix Film Festival in April, and that'll be our first festival, and then we're going on from there. And, you know, Paul's like an expert on the film festival world, so I'm sure we'll be locked in lots of other festivals across the country following that. So, yeah, and I'll be there talking about my crying skills and, you know, answering questions.
And are we going to be seeing, because you wrote, directed, and starred in 6 Month Rule.
Right.
Okay, do you have another movie that you're working on? Will you be doing that trifecta?
Yeah, I do, actually. There's a new movie called Clip Joint, which is very much in the pre-production stage, but we're hoping to kick it off early next year.
Do you have any extreme character roles that Chris could possibly audition for?
Interesting. Well, am I going to get to come back and plug my movie Clip Joint if that happens?
I'm afraid to tell you what Chris would be willing to do if you were to put him in a movie.
Well, I'm a little short on cash.
Give you an idea what I'm willing to do. I'm a guinea pig. Okay? That's not even the most embarrassing thing I've done for money.
Oh, really?
You've done my body to medical science.
Testing. Yes. Are you on any unknown drugs right now?
At the moment, no, but I have been kicked out of one for testing positive for marijuana use.
Oh!
You can't mix, man. You don't know what you're dealing with.
Well, here's the thing. They drug screen you at the beginning, you know, to see if you're a viable candidate. So I passed that, and then I didn't realize that they screen you the day you get there, too. So I showed up, and bam, hit the...
They outsmarted you.
Yeah, they did. They suckered, bait and switch.
Oh, no.
Blaine, you were on NCIS.
Oh, yes, I was. Yes.
Did you meet LL Cool J?
I did not. That's L.A., man. We're talking about classic NCIS.
Oh!
I did one day on, I have this thing that I like to do, which is do a guest spot on a TV show and then offer the main character a role in one of my movies.
Yeah.
So I did a guest spot on NCIS, and then Mark Harmon was one of the stars of Weather Girl, which was my movie a couple of years ago. And I did a guest spot on a show called The Middleman, and Natalie Morales starred in that, and then I made her the star of Six-Month Rule.
And what a wild coincidence. And here you are during Registered Ear Offenders.
And now he'll be offering you a role.
And we are still waiting to hear your offer.
I'll have my lawyer put some stuff together for you.
Yeah, are you going to be writing in any roles for like two struggling radio personalities? Maybe they get murdered, or maybe they get to have sex with Natalie Morales.
Regardless of what they are, they're struggling.
I feel like you've just, this experience here is something that I will base some writing on.
So what's it like in an average day for Blaine Weaver? What do? You get up, you work out, you're obviously slim and trim. What do? You go to the gym, hit LA Fitness. What do you do?
I do my Taibo. And
yeah. Way to call back, Blaine
Thank
Weaver.
You. Thank you very much. I'm a writer. what's funny is I own Secret Identity Productions along with my business partner, Brandon Barrera. So we are always dealing with not only what's coming up, but what's happened before. Like today, we've been like dealing with the 6-month rule DVD cover. And it's amazing how much time that sucks out of your life. You know, it's like, I want to be writing every day.
I mean, Chris and I would have no clue what you're talking about, but go on.
Yeah, it's a mess. You know, it's like you guys produce your own things. It's literally, I'll get up with a plan of like, I'm going to write, I'm going to work out, and then I'm going to do something for me. And it ends up being like 4 hours of emails with a DVD company. And then, you know, if I get in an hour of writing, then I'm lucky.
Now, if you're like me, you had to spend at least one or two of those hours watching 1,052 Harlem Shake videos.
Yes, absolutely. I tend to go more towards the Twitter. Twitter fascinates me, and I've been skipping the Harlem Shake.
You know, Sal and I have discussed this phenomenon before, where it's weird. You come to LA because you know that's where you need to be to get things done. Yet when you get here, you suddenly find a million obstacles. I'm the same way. I write. I have a animated vehicle I've been working on for years, and for me to get even an hour of writing in, I mean, I need to be at the computer for 4 hours because you're returning. I'm a comic, at night, so I'm booking shows. I'm following up emails, resending emails that never got responded to. Deleting avails that I put out before. And it's constantly actors access, LA casting. I mean, it's literally several hours of work a day. And the artistry sometimes can get lost. It can get sidelined to just being a businessman. But you can't get by without being a businessman.
Well, absolutely. Because on one side, you have the creative aspect. And this is no different with our show. You have the creative aspect, and then you have the marketing aspect. And oftentimes, people may drop the ball on one of them.
Sure.
We don't have to ask Jeremy where we drop the ball on ours.
Yeah, no, I'll be the first to tell you, man, I've never been a businessman. I've never been a techie, and it's all been to my detriment. I was one of those guys. I came out to LA 8.5 years ago. I thought that I was going to shake hands. I was going to be polite. I was going to work hard, and somebody was going to respect that. And I was going to kind of rise organically to the top.
Yeah.
Dumbest mistake I ever made in my life.
No, you need to make a Harlem Shake video.
Out here, you can be a talentless hack, but if you know the right people, if you're in the right place. I won't mention any names, but I saw a comic who I just think is like the worst comic in the world. And I saw him at the Governor's Ball, man, the official Oscar party.
Yeah.
About a week or two ago.
Wait, he was performing or he was in?
No, he was there somehow. I wanted to grab him by the lapels and go, "How are you here?"
Well, just whisper to me who he was. No, I meant on the microphone.
Oh, why would I whisper? What does it mean? Like, if I whisper, less people can hear it? All right, let's get back to our guest here.
Tom Cruise. I'll take that, too. I'm taller than him. there's a whole thing about, like, the work ethic and whatnot. And I know actors and I know all kinds of talent that, you know, they just kind of coast through. That's just not me. It never has been. It won't be, you know.
Is that because of your Cajun roots?
Oh, I don't know. Hell, you know, Cajuns are as good as slacking off as anybody.
I spent time in Louisiana. I swear to God, I was taking a bus through, Canal Street, I think it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm on the bus, and the bus driver got out and physically walked a woman across the street. And I'm going, what fucking planet is this? Where he helped an old lady across the street. And I'm there like, come on, buddy. I got to get to go see the above ground Crips. You know, I got to.
You don't realize what a dick L.A. has made you until you leave L.A.
It's true.
I was in Park City, Utah about a year ago, just kind of sitting there reading the paper at the breakfast table or something. And this old guy walks by and I guess he saw something he found amusing and he made a joke and he kind of whacked me on the shoulder. And I mean, I almost jumped. I almost recoiled because in L.A., I would have fought the fucking guy.
Yeah.
I don't care who, you know, I'd be like, what gang you with, man? You know?
Yeah.
So, but then I realized he's just a kindly old man. And that's what normal people do outside of L.A.
Sure. So you went from Louisiana to New York. Was that a culture shock?
Well, I was too young and stupid to really know anything better. You know, it's like I knew I wanted to leave where I grew up. And I loved New York. And, you know, L.A. was more of a culture shock, to be honest, because in New York, I was kind of, I don't know, everybody was different, you know? It wasn't like there was, everybody was an actor and everybody was in the business. That was weird when I got out here and it's like, you know, I got my first job was at Big Five Sporting Goods in Studio City and everybody there was an actor, you know? And I don't know, it's just kind of weird. I'm actually moving back to New York.
And, what?
Yeah, I am.
What the hell? Well, next time you're on the show, you got to call in then, I guess.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Then you can have like a bi-coastal.
Or you can send Morales in your play.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, Blaine, we don't want to leave this out. Tell our audience where they can learn more about you and where they can hear you and see you.
Oh, yeah. You can follow me on the Twitter at Blaine Weaver. But also there's a 6monthrulemovie.com, which is available right now on iTunes. So you can do that. You can buy that. Or you can watch it on DVD after May 28th. So buy 6 month rule. And if you're in Phoenix, go see Favor in April.
All right. And we're going to get into our last segment of the day, which we hope that you can chime in on. And this is In Human Resources. This is where Chris and I and our guest for the day discuss moments at work. We got to be quick about this. We don't have much time. I'll go ahead and start this off. I used to work at a gym in Studio City. It was the Bally's. Well, it was a Nautilus Aerobics Plus at the time, and Bally's bought it. And there used to be a break room. And there I was a trainer. So part of my job was to take people's body fat test. And part of the body fat test with calipers is to take it on a woman's thigh. And so often, I didn't appreciate this at the time. I'm 19 years old. What the fuck did I know? I would say to a woman, we need to take your body fat test. I need to get on your thigh. And they would often have their yoga pants on or their sweatpants. And they would go, well, I can't take my pants down here. And I go, well, we have a break room if you want to go to the break room. And so many women, like all of them, said, okay. And they went with me to the break room. And they took down their pants. And it's just them and I in the fucking break room. Their pants are down. And invariably, I would also tell them I had to take their body fat off of their back underneath their shoulder blade, the subscapularis. So I would say, okay, well, we need to do your thigh and I need you to turn around. They'd turn around. They would have their thong ass in my face. And what an idiot. I never once tried anything. I was a professional idiot. I was a professional idiot. Anyway, that was my Inhuman Resources inappropriate conduct at the Bally Total Fitness. Chris.
When you say you never once tried anything, what you're saying is you voluntarily resigned rather than being fired.
Exactly. That's what I did.
Okay.
Chris, what's your Inhuman Resources?
As we all know, I'm from Florida. Spent the first about three quarters of my life there. Shortly before I left, I used to work at a restaurant called Cafe Two to Tango right on I Drive in Orlando, real touristy area. And it was an old building, kind of old, very, everything was made of wood. And when the summer would come, a lot of people don't know, man, second only to maybe Louisiana, the humidity is
horrible.
I mean, it's literally suffocating. So every summer, the roaches would go nuts. You know, and for maybe a period of about 2-3 months, they would literally come out of the woodwork while people were there. And for some reason, the management was reluctant to deal with the issue as though it was not as serious as it was. I mean, aside from roaches, what could be a greater slight against your restaurant's reputation? Rats, maybe? I don't know. So this started happening to the people keep seeing it because, of course, summer's the busy season as well. It's the tourist season. So there's always a million people to witness every roach. I had one instance where I was talking to a coworker and they like literally a giant bug started crawling up them while I was talking to them. Somebody slapped it off of them and suddenly the bug disappeared. So now everybody's going crazy because it went somewhere. Nobody knew where. Anyway, what happened? This starts happening. People are constantly complaining. Hey, I just saw a giant cockroach, and we catch them. But people, once you see it, you see it, right? So finally, management calls a meeting, And we all go in there and they go, hey, you know, we're having this meeting about the cockroach problem. And my God, it's about time, right? You know, and I'm thinking they're going to say, we're going to close it down for 2 days. We're going to fumigate. We're going to put a tent. Nope. Here's what they tell us. The next time a customer complains about the roaches, tell them that it's not a cockroach. It's a palmetto bug. And I waited. And I waited.
For the punchline.
Yeah, for the punchline, which never came. And here's what they told us. It's not a roach. It's a palmetto bug. Now, if you're not from the Southeast, you may not know what a palmetto bug is. It's, dig this, it's bigger and scarier than a regular cockroach. Looks just like a regular cockroach, but can fly. So oh, I don't know wow. how that was supposed to assuage their concerns. And I remember raising my hand and going, hey, what do I do if the customer is not an entomologist and doesn't know the goddamn difference between a roach and a palmetto bug?
That's what music I would have played. Blaine Weaver, what is your... in human resources?
My first job was at Kmart. I was a box boy and I was 15 years old.
Attention Kmart shoppers.
That's right. And all of the other bus boys were like 18 to 20 and kind of just like brain dead kind of. And during our lunch break, somebody's like, hey, you ever fight? I'm like, ah, you know, I'm in, I take Taekwondo and stuff. I'm kind of into martial arts. I'm like, oh, great. Because we fight at break.
What? So,
literally at the lunch break every single day for the entirety of my time at Kmart, I had to go. And they, I'm not joking, it was Fight Club. They'd put the cardboard boxes down on the ground. And then we would, you know, pull our punches, you know, but like spar. And every day, I, like, these guys were freaking huge, you know? And I would come home with, like, cuts and bruises and, you know, but after a while, I kind of got into it because it was, you know, I was legit. And we were also part of security at Kmart, so...
Nice, but you know, Chris used to take Taekwondo. Perhaps you guys can do a sparring session right now.
You want to spar? I need a cardboard box that we can break down.
Only because my hands are registered as deadly weapons in the state will I decline the offer. Oh, that and the fact that I'm damn near 37 years old and have no health insurance. Other than that, I'd jump into the ring with you at any time.
Well, like, I enjoy that. You know, I go to Kmart sometimes, and I pride myself when I walk through Kmart of North Hollywood on Sherman Way. I often notice that I'm the best looking guy there. Now, of course, it's a good thing that Blaine is not there, because then he would be the best looking guy at Kmart in North Hollywood.
But not near as good looking as on the silver screen.
That's right. Or on the interwebs where he
people
is.
People would walk up to Blaine and go like, are you Mr. K? Do you, you probably own this joint.
Bob Mart.
I gotta be honest, I did not even know that there were still Kmarts around.
Yeah, but well, we have, I think, only one in the San Fernando Valley, and that's in North Hollywood.
Now, what does Kmart do that, say, Big Lots doesn't?
Well, Kmart is bigger and badder. I don't know. Let's defer to our Kmart expert here, Blaine Weaver.
Well, they have red vests that are really nice.
And Big Lots has orange vests.
That's true. And orange, it just doesn't bring out my eyes the way that the red does. So I go with Kmart every time.
Did you ever say attention Kmart shoppers just for the hell of it?
They wouldn't let me get anywhere near a microphone. Are you kidding me? I was like, the only job in the world that has absolutely no requirement of, you know, knowing anything. Like, I move boxes from here to here. Oh, yeah. And if somebody steals something, I'm security.
I love that. Like, I would have loved to have seen your job description on paper, you know, security / cashier if we need it, / bag boy if somebody calls in sick.
/ lunchtime Taekwondo expert.
Yeah. Dude, we got cracks. Our security staff is no joke. Here, let me show you. You open the door. Hear that? They're actually training right now on the job.
That would scare me as a shoplifter. Everybody, you have been listening to Registered Ear Offenders on SkidRowStudios.com, also on Extreme Talk XM 165. If you're listening live, please stick around. Listen to Devils in the Details Conspiracy Theory Radio, where they're going to talk about some shit that'll get you pissed off. Because I know when I listen to Devils in the Details, I get pissed off because the government's trying to fuck us.
Now, Sal, so we often forget to do this, but sometimes we forget to announce next week's guest. But we got a couple pretty cool guest this week, at least one in particular I can think of at the end of the month that's a pleasant surprise.
Who's that?
She's very pretty. She's been on television.
You're talking about Elisa Reyes?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's she's so hot. You know what? She rivals Natalie Morales.
And but tell you talk about it a little bit because I never saw the show she was on, but you have.
Well, Natalie, Elisa Reyes used to be on a show called All That and is currently on Nickelodeon, but she's got some really hot videos. If anybody's listening, anybody, you know, I don't, hello?
I'm not even sure Blaine is listening.
Is there anybody out there? Check out Elisa Reyes, A-L-I-S-A-R-E-Y-E-S. She will be on the show at the end of the month. We would like to thank Extreme Talk XM 165. We'd like to thank SkidRowStudios.com. We'd like to thank Mr. Jeremy Hansen and Wes Hambright, Orange Dog Music. We would like to thank our special guest for today, Mr. Blaine Weaver. Be sure to check out all his stuff. Talented man, better looking in person, and I just realized now that he stood up taller in person.
Yay!
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to Registered Ear Offenders, hosted by Sal Rodriguez and
Chris Z.